Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now the scripture says that man does not judge in the same way as God, because man judges by the outward appearance, but God looks upon the nature of the heart. You've probably already looked at your outer appearance this morning to do your hair or whatever else. But ever since you got up this morning, God's been looking at your heart. And that's what he's looking at all the time. He's not too concerned about the outward appearance, but he is concerned about the nature of the heart. And if you think back to where we began this term on Monday evening last week, the meeting in the church building, God started by talking about the heart. What he did that evening was to talk about his heart of love, of mercy, of long-suffering, patience, his graciousness towards us. And the thing that is different about Jesus and us is that his heart is always consistently the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. So he is always of good heart. His heart is always in a good place. So, where's your heart this morning? Now, there's two levels at which we can consider that question. There's what is the deepest, greatest, most important desires of our heart that are actually motivating the way we live. Those are the deep issues that God has been dealing with to make sure that our hearts are lined up with his heart. Because when our hearts are lined up with his hearts, our wills are lined up with his will, and then we are able to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. So it's important that God is doing that deep work in our hearts. We had that time on, whenever it was, I think it was Thursday evening, was it, when God was purifying the hearts. He was taking out of our hearts those things that are inconsistent with his will and therefore inconsistent with his heart. It was like a cleansing of the refining fire. And there's a sense in which God will always continue that work of refining in us. Remember, I told you that the purest gold is refined many times. It's reheated and more of the impurities skimmed off several times, not just once, like the cheapest gold. So God wants you to be of the purest, finest gold. So we can think of the heart at that level. But then there's another level altogether. See, where was your heart when you came in here this morning? Was your heart set right? I'm coming now to meet with God. I'm coming to give him my best. So that as soon as you came into this room, you were engaging your heart with God, pouring out your heart to him. You understanding what I'm saying? You see, there's two levels at which our heart functions. Now, I call these two things the nature of the heart, which is what we were talking about first, the desires, the greatest desires of our hearts, our purpose to have hearts after the heart of God, letting him purify our hearts. That's the nature of the heart. And then there's what I call the disposition of the heart, which is where we set our hearts at any given moment. So you might have the right desires, the right heart motivation to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, and so on and so on, but the disposition of your heart at any given moment might be totally at odds with the actual nature of your heart. Anybody understanding what I'm saying? Right. Now, the answer to that, of course, is to keep the disposition of our hearts in line with the nature of our hearts. So that what you do when you come in here, or wherever we are, whatever we're doing, our focus is to actually express our hearts and the love in our hearts and the praise in our hearts and the joy in our hearts to the Lord. Now, what distracts us from the disposition of the heart not being in line with the nature of the heart? And that's usually yourself. You see, you know, you might be feeling cheesed off, fed up, not particularly bright, tired, whatever. And instead of really putting the disposition of your heart in line with the nature of your heart, you let the heart drift over to soulishness. You remember when I do the three chairs thing, the spirit, soul, and body, I say the heart is, in Scripture, the heart is a little bit difficult because sometimes it refers to the spirit, sometimes it refers to the soul. It's like the heart is set between the two. So if you just look this way for a moment, if here is your spirit and here is your soul, the lectern in the middle is your heart, right? Now, we would say that the heart, what God is working in you, is that your heart should be set on him rather than on soul, which is yourself, right? So you'd say, yes, I've given my heart to the Lord. I love the Lord with my heart. God is bringing us to the point where we can say, I love him with all my heart. We might say that, whether that's correct or not, the Lord alone knows, because he looks not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. But that's, anyway, our desire. This is the nature of the heart. The nature of the heart is to line up with God's heart. But if we get distracted by our feelings, if we get distracted by our circumstances, if we get distracted sometimes by things that come against us, instead of our hearts being set upon the Lord, our hearts get set upon ourselves. So when that happens, we don't bother about God. Or we're not thinking of him or depending upon him. So we might come in here, sit down, thinking about ourselves, thinking about whatever. Working out something or other. And God is still here, but our hearts at that moment aren't set on him. They're set on ourselves. Now, of course, we can, somebody can begin the meeting and we go, whoops, this is where I need to be. But actually, this is where you needed to be before the meeting started. Why? Because it's not a meeting that should determine the disposition of your heart, but it's you. You're responsible for your heart and where you place your heart. I'm going to take you to some scriptures in a moment. You'll see why this is important. So it's learning not just when we come in here to have an 8 o'clock, but when we're involved in whatever happens during the course of a day, how we will respond will not depend just upon the nature of the heart, but upon the disposition of the heart. Where we are placing our hearts at any given time. Now, Paul, of course, was well aware of this. And so when he prays for people, he prays for their hearts. Let's just look at one or two examples. There's two prayers in his letter to the Ephesians, for the Ephesians. In the first, he says this, I also pray for your heart to be filled with light, so that you will see for yourself and know in your experience the hope to which he has called you, the purpose he wants to see fulfilled in your life. Now, there he's talking about the nature of the heart. I want your heart to be full of light. I want your heart to be full of light so that all the time you're looking forward, you're not looking back, you're not actually looking at yourself. But you're straining for that which lies ahead because your hope is that which lies ahead of you. So I want your heart to be full of light so you're always looking forward. You're always expectant. You're always eagerly moving forward with God. You understand? Okay, then in the second prayer, which is the more familiar one in chapter 3, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches you will be strengthened with power by the working of his spirit in your innermost being. So that's praying very much for your spirit. This is so that you will know the presence of Christ in your hearts. Now there's the disposition of the heart. See, this is the nature of the heart, where you set your heart upon pleasing God. But then he prays, I pray that the disposition of your heart will be to know the presence of God in your heart, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I mean, you only have one heart, you understand? But your heart can be sort of given over to the Lord. That's what you've done in surrendering your heart and life to Jesus. And yet the disposition of your heart at any given time might be quite contrary to that. So what he's praying about is have the light, the hope of Christ filling your heart so that you're looking forward to eager expectation. But keep your heart set upon Jesus and the things of God so that you know his presence in your heart. Amen? Now you see, the more we learn to do that, the easier it is to meet with God. Because it isn't that we have to sort of swing from one to the other, but there's a consistency in our life where we're keeping our hearts fixed. Now, you see, the writer to Hebrews is very keen on this, isn't he, too, about fixing our eyes on Jesus, on drawing near to his throne with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith. You see, what does it mean to have a sincere heart? Well, you might say, well, I have sincerely given my heart to the Lord. Okay, fine, we accept that. That's the nature of the heart. Now, what about the disposition of the heart? Are our hearts seriously, sincerely given over to the Lord at any given moment? Like, for example, when you came in here. See, or was it, were we operating at another level than really drawing near to God with a sincere heart? So the point is this, that if you've got to get from there to there, something has got to happen in your heart. Yes? And you are the only one who controls your heart. God won't control your heart. Amen? You decide where you place your heart at any given moment. So when we worship, we want to worship with all of our hearts. Why? Because we're not distracted. We haven't got our hearts and minds set upon other things. This is why when he's writing to the Romans, Paul says, set your hearts, keep your hearts on things above. See, that's the disposition of the heart, right? You've given your heart to the Lord. You're one with him in love for your heart. So keep your heart set, the disposition of your heart. Keep it in line with where you are in relation to God. Set your mind on things above. Remember the relationship between heart and mind in Hebrew thought. So, it's learning all the time, right? I can so easily get distracted. Mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to prayer, especially when it comes to worship, because, you know, the devil doesn't like the fact that you're a Christian, but he knows you're at your most dangerous to him when you're praying and worshiping. So he'll do anything he can to distract you from praying and worship, or to distract you in prayer and worship. Sometimes the devil is most active. You know, when I was a pastor, I used to tell the congregation, you might be missing, but the devil always turns up at church. Never misses a service. Never misses a meeting. He's always there to try to distract, to try to draw people's focus away from Jesus. So when he's writing to the Thessalonians, Paul says, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us through his grace eternal strength and good hope, now strengthen your heart. See, he's praying for the heart to be strengthened, right? The nature of your heart, you've given your heart to the Lord, right? Now he wants your heart to be strengthened. Why? So that you're established in every good deed and word, right? Your heart you've given to Jesus now. He says he wants a heart strengthened. So it's not just a question of, right, here's my focus when I worship and pray. But all through the day, is my heart set upon doing what God wants? Or is my heart set upon doing what I want? Is my heart set upon pleasing him by what I say? Or is my heart all over the place? So the one moment I might be saying things that glorify him, the next moment I might be talking rubbish. Are we understanding? We're getting this. And because the heart and mind are so closely related in Hebrew thought, you see, it's, well, where are my thoughts? When I consider the nature of my heart and my relationship with God, then surely, yes, my heart and my mind are set upon him. But at other times, my mind might be all over the place. My heart, therefore, will be all over the place at that time. And because the heart determines the decisions that I make, affects the will, the decisions that I make, it's important to keep the disposition of my heart in line with the nature of my heart. Am I speaking words you understand here? Okay, so then he says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's patience. Now, you see, what's he doing there? He's saying, okay, if you have a heart surrendered to the Lord, it's not just a question of saying, yes, well, I've given my heart to Jesus. I love him with all my heart, boom, boom, boom. He says, right, if your heart is truly surrendered to him, you want him to direct your heart. Now, that doesn't mean that he does the work in you. It means he shows you, he directs, he points the way. He shows you what he wants you to do in any situation so that you do it with all your heart. So if he's directing your heart, he's saying, right, this is what to say in this situation. This is what to do now. And what we want, you see, is that relationship with Jesus, whereby the previous prayer, we know his presence in our hearts, not just when we're worshiping, but we know his presence in our hearts. We have hearts that are so surrendered to him that he's directing our hearts, showing us what we are to do, what we are to say with the heart, but with a good heart, with a submitted heart, with a loving heart, with that merciful heart, with that gracious heart that he was talking about at the beginning of last week. So he wants us to have hearts after his own heart, full of love, full of mercy, full of grace, long-suffering, patience, all those things he was speaking to us about then. But he wants those hearts, therefore, to be set upon pleasing him. So, what is going on in practice lines up with what we say to him about our love for him, when we praise him, when we exalt him. Because what we don't want is to be schizophrenic Christians who function one level here and in another level here. Now, in a sense, we all do that. We have to admit, I have to admit, I'm sure you would admit, sometimes your mind is all over the place. Sometimes you can even be involved in a conversation which has got nothing to do with the love of God, the presence of God, the purpose of God. There's so many things that go on in our lives that are just of the soul and not of the spirit. Now, many of those things are of little consequence. Doesn't matter too much. There's nothing necessarily very negative what we're doing. It's just, you know, we're functioning at the natural level rather than at the supernatural level of the spirit. The difficulty is sometimes that we get so involved in walking at the natural level, it's difficult then to hop into the supernatural or spiritual level. So the more these two line up, the easier it is to see the purpose of God being outworked in our lives. Also, of course, the danger is that if our hearts are not set upon things above, if the disposition of our hearts is different from the nature of our hearts, that we can get into stuff that is not right. Things that are of consequence. We might start at a level where things doesn't seem to be of much consequence, but then we get into something that is really negative. You know, might have a conversation with someone that's fine, there's nothing, you know, it's just a conversation at the natural level. Nothing spiritual about it, just a conversation. But then, during the conversation, judgment comes in. Somebody may say something judgmental about someone else, you join in. Now you've gone way, way, way off the rails. Now you're into something that is totally contradictory to the Word of God. Now you've got into sin. And therefore, it is of consequence. You with me? Your heart at that moment doesn't know the presence of God, doesn't acknowledge the presence of God, is not submitted to the presence of God. Your heart at that moment is not fulfilling what Paul says here, may the Lord direct your hearts. If you're saying and doing something that is contrary to the will of God, to the word of God, it can't be directed by God. Anybody at the same meeting I'm at this morning? Okay, so what's the purpose of all of this? Well, everything in the whole Reformation purpose of God, both in the individual lives of the branches of the trees in this orchard, and therefore of the whole of these trees, everything depends upon the nature and the disposition of the heart. You see, you would say that a lot of reformation is needed, not because people don't have the right nature, heart nature, because there's lots of people that have given their lives to the Lord. He's given them a new heart. If you ask them, do you love the Lord? Yes. Do you want to serve the Lord? Yes. Do you want to honor God in your life? Yes. But the disposition of their hearts is way, way, way contrary to what they would claim to be the nature of the heart. Are we there? So what you see going on in the lives of many believers seems to be stuff that is totally contradictory to what they say in terms of being really surrendered and submitted to God. Are you understanding this? So what is God addressing in our lives? Not just the nature of the heart. He did that last week. That's where we began on Monday night. Then there was that purifying fire. That's all to do with the nature of the heart. But what he's doing all the time, every day of our lives, by the Holy Spirit living within us, is he's prompting us, he's urging us, he's directing us to set our hearts on things above, to set our hearts on the things of the Spirit and not just the things of the soul or of the flesh or of self. Now, you know, I'm trying to be realistic here because, you know, there's no point in being super spiritual about these things. We have to live out the life of the Spirit within our humanity, within the people that we are. But that's why it's so important for us not to exist at the level of outward appearance. You see, when the scripture says that men judge differently from God, men judge by the outward appearance, God looks upon the nature of the heart, of the disposition of the heart. When the scripture says that, it's pointing to a great, great truth, a profound truth, that what matters to God is not the outward appearance, but where the heart is set. See? He knows whether somebody's heart is really surrendered to God or not, but he knows what is going on in the heart of a person at any given time. So what is concerning him is that the heart is in right order, the heart is set in the right place, the heart is really able, therefore, to be able to express the love of God, the life of God, the light of God, the truth of God in the situation in which we are, because the heart is set upon things above. The heart is set upon Jesus. The heart is set where it needs to be set. And we know the presence of God. We know the Holy Spirit directing our hearts in the way that God wants us to go. So, Do you ever get fed up with yourself? Do you ever feel, oh God, I failed so much, you know? Well, when do you get fed up like that? When your heart has not been set upon Him. You've just got into this syndrome of thinking about yourself, thinking about your situation, thinking about the problems, thinking about whatever challenges you're having to face, what you've got to do. Oh, God, oh, Lord. And you see, he says, well, you go on like that, you'll just go down and down and down in a kind of spiral. Better to keep your heart and your mind set upon where you say your heart belongs. Right? Let the disposition of your heart match the nature of your heart. Are we there? In other words, if you put this very, very simply, what God is teaching us is to live according to our new nature and not just to exist, not just to drift through each day. Now, you will drift if you don't make conscious effort to keep your focus. You have a pair of eyes. Now just look all around you. You see people, you see a building in which you're sitting, there's a floor, there's chairs, there's musical instruments up here. There's all kinds of stuff you can see. You're able to see. But if I said to you, turn now to Ephesians 3, verse 1, your vision has to become focused. It becomes focused on a book. It becomes focused on a certain page in that book. It becomes focused on a certain line of print on the page of that book. Your vision is now very focused. So what God is really talking to us about this morning is focus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Keep your heart and mind fixed on things above, Paul says. You see, it's all about focus. You can just drift along with your focus all over the place. Or you can become a focused person. Now, when you become a focused person, your focus is on doing the will of God. So, okay, you're having to function at the level of the soul all the way through the day, but your focus is to please God. Your focus is that the Lord will direct your heart and mind. Your focus is that you will walk in the Spirit. Your focus is that you will walk with Jesus. Your focus is that you will know the presence of God with you in what you're doing. So how far that actually happens in your life is entirely down to you. It's entirely down to you. You choose at what level you are going to function. You choose, just as you choose where you focus your eyes, in exactly the same way, you choose where you focus your heart. Jesus says something interesting about the eyes, doesn't he? He says, your eyes are the light of the body. where you set your eyes will actually affect whether your body is filled with light or with darkness. You can fix your eyes upon what is good and wholesome and be filled with light. You can fix your eyes upon what is ungodly and you can be filled with darkness. It's no use thinking, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I can look at these impure images, or I can look at this, that, or the other, or I could look at violence and it's not going to affect me. Absolute nonsense. Jesus says your eyes are the light of your body. So you will either fill your body with light or you'll fill your body with darkness, depending on what you do with your eyes. Now, exactly the same, you see, is true of the heart. How far will you fulfill the will of God in your life today? Well, it depends where your heart's at. I don't doubt that you love God. Don't doubt that you've surrendered your heart to Him. But how fully you will fulfill God's purpose today is dependent upon where you put your heart. So, we come in here for a meeting. Are you going to meet with God? Well, it depends where your heart is. It doesn't depend on how you feel. It depends on where you put your heart. Hello? See? And what we have to learn is, well, sometimes I might feel really yucky, but I'm choosing to set my heart on the Lord, on things above, on worshiping Him, on glorifying Him, on thanking Him. The devil says, you've got nothing to thank, you know, you feel lousy, why don't you just sit this out, why don't you just, you know? Anything to try to distract your heart so it's not set upon Him. Because when you're set upon Him, He does stuff. And the nature of your heart is enhanced. You become, as Paul says, you know, may He strengthen your heart. Your heart becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Your love for Him becomes more and more real. Hello? So nobody doubts that you're a child of God. Nobody doubts that you love the Lord. Nobody doubts that you have the Spirit of God, that you're an anointed child of God, that you have the anointing of the Holy One. But how far that gets expressed in your life all depends upon where you set your heart. Same is true for me. I find the enemy is constantly wanting to try to distract me. Do you find that? I've been a Christian many, many years now, but I find that never gets any different, never gets any easier. The devil never has a holiday. I mean, you go on holiday, he'll go with you. Jesus will be there, hallelujah. So you want to keep your focus on Jesus and not the devil, right? Because if you submit yourself to the Lord, right, and resist the devil, he'll flee. But who knows that if he has to flee, he was there before he fled. You understand that? So, you know, the fact that the devil is around doesn't mean that you're not a spiritual person. In fact, it means that he's rather concerned that you're becoming too spiritual. And he wants to try to stop this. Hey, come on. You're going to be a danger to my dominion of darkness if you go on like this. So we resist him, right? But we don't want to stay in a neutral situation. We want our hearts and minds to be set upon things above. We want our hearts really set upon pleasing the Lord. So what does this all boil down to? Very, very simply. Right. With my life, I want to love Jesus. So with my life, will I love him today? I want my life to glorify the Lord. Okay, so will I glorify him today? I want to please the Lord and fulfill the will and destiny that he has for me. Okay, then will I live to please him today? Or is all this sort of nice spiritual language and ideology, but the reality is different? Are you getting this? So what I say to him, and what I mean, and probably very sincere, has to be worked out in practice, because I'm giving my heart to the Lord throughout the day. I'm setting my heart upon him. Sincerity counts for almost nothing. Muslims are sincere. Atheists are sincere. So just because you're sincere doesn't get you very far. The point is that if you are sincere in your love for Jesus, you will love him today. What does that mean? You will love your brother, you will love your sister, you will lay down your life for those that are around you. Because if you love God, you will love your brother also, the scripture says. So your love for God gets worked out in practice. Amen? And you're not saying one thing to him in the prayer meeting, but living at another level. So what happens in your life, the progress that you make spiritually is dependent upon not just the nature, but the disposition of your heart. Where you choose, the disposition is where you place your heart, you see? Where you place your heart today. Where you place your heart now. You see, because he's not looking on the outward appearance but on the heart, the Lord even looks upon your heart now to see how you're responding to what I'm saying. Or to what he's saying through me. He knows how you're responding. He knows, therefore, whether you are pleasing him, glorifying him, honoring him in your heart at this moment. Or, alternatively, whether something negative is going on. He is concerned about the heart. He knows that if the heart is right, the words will be right, the actions will be right, the attitudes will be right, the relationships will be right. So we can only really be living with a right heart if the nature of the heart is right and the disposition of the heart is right. I think we've got it now, haven't we? So the great thing is not to get all worried. And this is not a heavy thing. You see, it's just a question of learning, right? If I realize I've wandered away, come straight back. Right? Just say, oh, sorry, Lord. Don't go into a long, have a sort of half-hour prayer meeting about it. Just get back. Repentance is turning round. It's not having a prayer meeting. Repentance is you were going one way, you realize, oh, that's not the way, I need to turn around and go the other way. So that's what happens sometimes. You know, we drift away from where our hearts are supposed to be set. So we just come straight back. And then we begin to move forward with God. This, beloved, is reformation. Because you'll find that what happens among a reformed, revived, restored people, whatever language you use, what you find is that these two things get lined up. The nature of the heart becomes the disposition of the heart. You find yourself walking so much more closely with the Lord. Why? Because you have set your heart upon pleasing him day by day. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Now, what's the difference? In practice, you're surrounded by people that you love. We love one another, right? That's, if you like, a relationship. It's a state of mind. It's an attitude. But if I live in that love today, then I will do something for those that I love. I will express that love. Maybe in something I do for them, maybe in something I give to them, maybe in word to encourage them, but that love will be expressed somehow positively in action. Are you with me? See? That shows the disposition of the heart is in line with the nature of the heart. I don't just say that I love people, I express that love, I do it. And you see, the same with God. I don't just say I love God, right? I'm going to do today what will be pleasing to him, what will honor him, what will glorify him. Let's just close our eyes and thank him that he loves us so much that every moment of the day he's looking upon our hearts. We're never out of his mind. He knows our thoughts from afar. That means because he is spirit, you know, and he's not a man, he's spirit, he can be so intimately involved with you all day long that he knows every thought you have. He knows your words even before you say them. He knows all your heart attitudes. He knows your motives and intentions. And he doesn't do this because he's a divine spy and he's looking for negative things to beat you over the head with and say, you wicked child. He knows all this because of his love for you. Because he is the closest one to you. He's much closer than a husband or a wife or a child. He's closer to you than anyone because he's the only one who lives in you. You don't have anybody else living in you. And you don't live in anybody else, but you live in him and you share in his divine nature. So just thank him for this wonderful love that he has for you, that he's so concerned about you, that you're never out of his thoughts. Nothing can ever separate you from his love. That he cares about you every moment of every day. Thank him that he is concerned about your heart, because that's where he's looking. Come on, child. I love you with all my heart. And I want to see you loving me with all your heart. Not just the nature of your heart, but because you set your heart upon pleasing me today. You choose to set your heart to do what I want today. To be my mouthpiece, to speak love and encouragement, mercy, forgiveness, grace today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're so concerned about me. You love me so deeply. You're so intimately involved with my life that you know everything, absolutely everything. And And Lord, I want you to direct my heart. I want you to give direction to my heart so you know how I need to set my heart upon pleasing you throughout this and every day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you never give up on me. Hallelujah. Thank you that when I get distracted, your spirit is there just to draw me back so that my attention becomes focused upon you. My attention becomes focused upon your will, pleasing you, doing what is good and right and wholesome. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I want you to be my focus. Hallelujah. I want you to be the focus of my heart, the desire of my heart, the joy of my heart. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're so merciful, Lord, that you forgive us when our hearts become distracted, when we get drawn away from placing our attention on you. Oh, Lord, thank you that you forgive when we just begin to function at the natural level and really we lose sight of you and of your presence and of your power and of your ability to enable us to walk with you at any given moment, any given day. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Can you pray now that the disposition, the placing of your heart, where you choose to place your heart at any moment, the disposition of your heart will match the nature of your heart. Hallelujah, that new heart that God has given you, the new heart that He's placed within you, lined up with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit is directing your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I bless you. So the scripture says we're to love one another from the heart. We're to forgive others from the heart. See, it's all got to be heart involvement, hasn't it? Just thank the Lord for that. Lord, I want that love you have put into my heart because your word says you poured your love into my heart by the Holy Spirit. I want my heart to be set upon pleasing you so that that love is what pours out of me as a river of living water, that I touch the lives of other people today with your love, with your life, oh Lord, with your truth, with everything that is good, with everything that is wholesome, with everything that is positive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The new heart you gave me is full of your life, your love, your power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Purata paria leto bakalazita di santo bakataria lenoma. Poparazata paria leto bakalazita di sandoma. Poparazata paria leto bakalazita di sandoma. Poparazata paria leto bakalazita di sandoma. Yes, Satabari, Aledo Bacala, Zitri, Sanda Bacala, Sato Bacala, Sutri, Soturi, Sando Bacatari, Aledo Bacala, Zitri, Sanda. Popara, Zatabari, Aledo Bacala, Zitri, Sanda. Jesus says that those who bear a hundredfold fruit are those with honest and good hearts. Can you thank the Lord that you're going to be fruitful? Hallelujah. Because your heart is set upon pleasing Him. Your disposition of your heart, where you choose to set your heart, is on pleasing Him day by day. Doing what pleases Him, saying what pleases Him, relating in ways that please Him, everything that pleases Him. Can you rejoice? Hallelujah. Be glad. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Purala bazatabaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Bazatabaria leto bakala sitri santo bakatoria leto bakala sitri sandama. Balatabaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Popara zatabaria leto bakala sitri santo bakatoria leto bakala sinama. There's an interesting scripture where Paul says, all things are permissible, but not all things are helpful. You know, there's lots of things we might be permitted to do, but they're not helpful. They don't help us. They don't glorify the Lord. They don't help the cause of the kingdom. They don't help our walk and our relationship with Him or with others. So let's pray now for wisdom. The wisdom to do only that which is helpful. Helpful to ourselves, helpful to the cause of God's kingdom, helpful in terms of pleasing God. Can you pray that with me? Lord, we pray for that wisdom. We know there may be all kinds of things that are permitted, that are not in themselves sinful, but they're not really helpful to us. So help us, Lord, to do that which is helpful, to keep our focus, to keep our hearts doing on that which will be helpful, that which will have positive effect, that which will be fruitful. Lord, we want to see all this stuff worked out in practice. We don't want just to say all these things spiritually when we come here for a meeting and then the rest of our lives are a contradiction to what we've said. We want to see the outworking of all this stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Sara tabaria leto bakala sitri sanduma. Papara zatabaria leto bakala sitri sanduma. Bala tabaria leto bakala sitri sando bakataria leto bakala sitri. Bala tabaria leto bakala sitri sanduma. Now, Jesus says, the eye is the light of the body. See? So where are you going to set your eyes? Where you choose to, because of the heart decisions that you make. So can we also pray not only for the wisdom, but pray now that our eyes will be set upon what gives light to the body, not darkness. The way we look at things, the way we look at people, whatever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that with right hearts, we'll have right eyesight. And our bodies will be full of light. Thank you, Jesus. Pura taparia letu bakala sitri santuma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, if you think all this is a fight and a struggle, you're absolutely right, it is. Right? But you're going to have the victory.
Amen.
Right? Because Christ always leads us in his victorious position, possession. This, you see, is the struggle, isn't it, between the flesh and the spirit. Between pleasing God and pleasing self. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, then you'll have to deny yourself. Day by day, you'll have to take up your cross and follow after me. So thank the Lord that you're going to have the victory in this. Amen. You resist the devil and all his temptations to please self, to focus on self, to focus on your feelings and your circumstances, and he flees. Hallelujah. He's not going to have his way. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You give me the victory. Hallelujah. I have the victory over all the power of the evil one. Praise your holy name. And thank you, Lord, that all this is not too great for us. It's not too difficult for us because you have given us your spirit, and your spirit is so much more powerful than the devil, so much more powerful than the evil one. Thank you that we are the people of the Spirit. We're not the people of the flesh. We're not the people that belong to the darkness, but we belong to the light. And we thank you, Lord, that we'll walk in the light as the children of light, that you give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you and we bless you. Come on, let's glorify the Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Those negative things will not have any expression in our lives in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sarabataria letter bakalasitri sandoma. Boparazadabaria letter bakalasitri sanda bakataria letter bakalasitri sandoma. Thank you, Lord. That's why it's so important to make positive confession. Come on, let's say this confession together. Not just the outward words, the titles we can say together. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord today.
Jesus Christ is my Lord today.
The Lord is my life today.
The Lord is my life today.
The Lord is my righteousness today.
The Lord has given me his spirit today.
The Lord is my peace today.
The Lord is with me today.
The joy of the Lord is my strength today.
The Lord is my healer today.
The Lord is my provider today.
The Lord is my victory today.
The Lord has given me authority over the enemy today.
The Lord loves me today.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you. Oh, ratapare letoba.
Come on, let's just rejoice in the Lord for a couple of minutes. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you. What a great and mighty God you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.